Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our focus text this morning will be verses 1 and 2. And I will be reading from verse 31 in chapter 4 for context. But before we hear the preaching and reading of God's word, let's go before Him together in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come now to Your word, the word that You have so wonderfully and graciously given us. Lord, we thank You for all that is within, for all the truth that You declare therein, even that regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, even that regarding what we must do as Your church, as the body of Christ. And Lord, we pray that You would bless us even as we consider those very things this morning. Open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to the very truths of Your Scripture. And teach us, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, Ephesians, beginning in chapter 4, verse 31, hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Amen. Thus far, the reading of His Word. Well, worthy walking, beloved, in the new man, as we have been talking about for the last few weeks, involves our maturing and growing and putting things away, getting specific things out of our lives. Now, we were challenged and convicted as we considered Paul's list last time, weren't we? Have you seen growth in your life in these areas? I encourage you to think about that. Such growth and putting off is coupled with clothing ourselves in Christ, having His mind, putting on that which He has graciously given us, being guided in Christian living by His word, His laws, His commands. If you recall, Paul taught us that lying needs to go, particularly if we are lying to one another in the church. God's people must stop doing that and speak truth to our neighbor instead. Whereas lies destroy, the truth establishes, it builds up, it restores. And as members of Christ's body, we owe one another the truth. Remember, if we love one another, we won't deceive one another. By God's grace, we will see relationships in the church flourish as we walk in and speak truth with one another. Now, Paul has also instructed us about dealing with uncontrolled anger. Anger is a real and a powerful emotion, an emotion that isn't always sinful, but can easily become so. Be angry and do not sin, he said. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. But we also must not steal. And it's not only that we must not take property or things that don't lawfully belong to us, but positively, we must engage in honest labor, working what is good, not only for our own good, but also to help brothers and sisters in need. Paul also said that we must guard our mouths and what comes out of them. Corrupt, evil talk must not exit our lips. We are children of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We must not grieve the Spirit by using destructive speech, but rather what is good for necessary edification that imparts grace to the hearers. This is what should come out of our mouths. Now, how did Paul end his lesson? By exhorting us to kindness, didn't he? By exhorting us to tenderheartedness and forgiveness toward one another. And we will see how this links beautifully with our text today in a moment, but how important it is, it can never be understated how much this needs to be in the forefronts of our minds daily. Oh, that our relationships would be like, and how they would be a great testimony to others, even those on the outside, how they would give glory to God if forgiveness was so evident in them, fueled by the knowledge and experience of the forgiveness that we have from God in Christ. Oh, if that were the case, on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, if forgiveness was evident in our lives, even considering the forgiveness that we have from God in Christ, what glory would be given to God? May that be so for us. It's this kind of consistent Christian living that Paul is encouraging us in today as he calls us to be imitators of God in verse 1. As he calls us to walk in love in verse 2a, considering Christ's love and work on the cross for us, which he lays out in 2b. So in verse 1, regarding being imitators of God, he says that very clearly, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Now being an imitator, it literally refers to one who follows or who emulates another. Again, we've heard this word before, but the Greek word is where we get the word mimic from. It's true that we all tend to imitate someone, isn't it? We look around, we talk, we desire to grow and improve. We maybe connect with somebody, we latch on to them, we want to follow them, we want to be like them. We want what that person has in their lives to be present in ours. Even if you're someone who prides yourself on walking according to your own tune, you're your own piper, so to speak, I think you'd be surprised at what you'd find if you really took a look at the details of your life. We may have high esteem and respect for that person, or maybe we've been told what we need to watch on YouTube. We need to check out this clip. We need to see what that person says. We need to seriously consider it, maybe even put it into practice. We need to listen to a podcast. We need to get lunch or coffee with that person and pick their brain. What are we looking for? We seek to listen and learn and replicate, don't we? We want to think how they think. We want to say what they say. We want to do what they do. Whether it's growing in knowledge and truth, how to apply truth in our lives, learning skills for work or some kind of self-improvement, or learning to improve relationships with family and friends, we all tend to follow someone. In fact, Paul calls God's people to imitate him as he imitates Christ. He told this to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:1. And so what's Paul's call here? It's really the brief but poignant summary statement of what he's been grounding us in through the end of chapter 4. And that being that Christian patience and forgiveness and love are grounded in the example provided by the redemptive pattern of Christ's work. Worthy walking, obedient Christian living is done well and rightly when we have a laser beam focus on God, a honed in focus on Christ and His example to us, on His laws and commands and His Word, and with that focus in place, we follow Him with all of our hearts. Be imitators of God, Paul says. And note that it's important to recognize that it's because of Christ and His work for us that we have been made alive, that we have been set free to imitate Him. For apart from Him, we had no interest. In fact, we'd walk the other way if we were given the opportunity. No thanks. But yet, because of who we are in Christ, because of our union with Christ, because we are children of God, we are free and called to imitate Him. Such a wonderful gift and such a marvelous call here. And we see this call in chapter 4, verse 32, when Paul said that we must forgive one another even as God in Christ has forgiven us. See the imitation there? God has given us the supreme example of forgiving us in Christ, and then He calls us to follow in doing the same with one another. Paul told Colossae in Colossians 3:12-13, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bear with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." My friends, we must forgive as God forgave us. We are to be kind as God is kind. We are to be merciful as He is merciful. We are to be patient as He is patient. We are to love as He has first loved us, etc. And so Paul issues the call and then tells us the status that we are to be mindful of as we walk as followers. That being as dear children. Dear children. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. We read there, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the unjust, on the just and the unjust." My friends, I ask you, do others know who your Father is by watching and listening to you? Do others know who your Father is by watching or listening to you? This is so good as we are reminded of our adopted familial relationship and how that relationship should influence and bolster our walk. Our desire as parents is that we would raise and train our children in the ways of the Lord and His Word in such a way, by God's grace, that they would love well, that they would love Him, that they would follow Him and even imitate us in doing that which is good. And this is what they are called and obliged to do in obedience, among other things. The same is true for all of us. We are loved and cherished by our Heavenly Father. And though we may act as rotten and stubborn and rebellious children sometimes, God looks at us in love as dear children in His Son. You are loved by God. You are loved by God, and such dear children are called to follow their Father and to do what is pleasing to Him. We are God's children, and part of our walk is imitating God. And therefore, how should we imitate Him? Paul spoken earlier in this epistle of our need to walk in unity. And that's true, that's important. But importantly here, Paul says we are to walk in love. We are to walk in love. Some of you may be thinking, got it, Pastor, that's great, no love, let's move on to the next verse. No, hold on. Love is a grace, beloved. It's a grace that should not only be in our hearts and minds and mouth, but should also influence all that we do. And if that's true, and it has such an influence, the marks of it should be seen in how we conduct ourselves. Others should be able to hear it and see it. Can they? And you? Matthew Henry said this, love should be the principle from which we act. It should direct the ends at which we aim. My friends, we are called to imitate God in how we love one another. And consider the Apostle John's words in 1 John 4:7-11. 1 John 4:7-11. You can turn with me if you would like. He says there, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Note that. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So love is of God. Love is also a testimony of our relationship with God. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is the definition of love. God is the author of love. And in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Very helpful words from the Apostle John. They should strike to our hearts like a knife. As we see what love is. That God is love, and love comes from Him. And it was manifested toward us in Christ. How wonderful that is. And therefore, we ought to love one another. So we must walk in love together, and we must do so being influenced and motivated, Paul told the church in Ephesus, by Christ's example. Motivated by Christ's example. Verse 2b, as Christ also has loved us and even given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So children of God, imitate God in your walk in love, considering the supreme example of Christ and His love for you. Remember Paul's words beginning in chapter 1, verse 4, where he told us of the wonderful works of God. Remember that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in what? In love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So Paul points out, as Christ also loved us. This is the first piece of the example. This is the first piece of what should be the undergirding motivation. Remember that Jesus walked this earth in love for 33 years. He was the beloved Son of the Father. He was the Son in whom the Father was well pleased. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. He walked in love for His Father. John 14, 31. He came to do His Father's will. John 6, 38. He walked in love for you and for me. He walked in love, enduring all kinds of persecution and suffering. And He has given Himself for us. Remember the wonderful truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So John teaches us of God the Father giving His Son. But here Paul teaches us that Jesus gave Himself for us. Beloved, just as much as the Father was willing to give His Son for you, His precious, His only begotten Son, as much as He was willing to give His Son for you, Jesus was willing to go. Jesus was willing to come and give Himself. And what did He give Himself for us as? An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Brothers and sisters, truly no words are sufficient to fully represent the impact and the efficacy of Christ's death. This is the only price by which we were reconciled to God. And this is what Jesus did for you and for me. He offered Himself as an offering, as a propitiatory sacrifice to truly atone for our sins. Christ died for us, and God accepted and was well pleased with, and His wrath against us was satisfied and appeased by His sacrifice. And therefore, Christ's sacrifice, satisfying divine wrath, truly made it a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And Christ did this for you and for me because He loves us. And as this love is so marvelously displayed, He then calls us to walk in love. Walk in love as dear children, as those who belong to Him, as those who belong to the chief love giver, the perfect and the pure and the wonderful and the marvelous, the one who is love. I did this for you. Now you go and walk in love with one another. How does such love grip you this morning? May God's love to us in Christ both humble us and lift us up. For we don't deserve it, but we have great joy and we thank and we adore Him because of it. Because of what He has done for us. And then we go forward and we thank Him for giving us this love and for calling us to love. And we say, thank You, Lord, indeed that Your Spirit is working in me to love. And yes, I will go. Yes, I will do it. Because of You. And I love You because You love me. Christ has so wonderfully given us new life freeing you and me to walk in His love, that we would be blessings to one another in His love, following His example. So let's be faithful to walk in that way. Let's be faithful to show the love of Christ to others, even to those sitting around you this morning. Let's be faithful to show the love of Christ and to model that, to bear witness of it, even as we walk in this dying and dark world. May it be a beacon and a light shining forth. And so the call goes forth, beloved. Receive it today. Be imitators of God as dear children. Amen. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org. Thank you.